The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 498. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. We're taking small steps to getting to that monumental milestone, episode 500, and I'm still working on it. And I'm super excited for it. So in 2 weeks, you're going to hear the 500th episode of the PVD Cast. And I would love it if you would tell everybody you know about this huge accomplishment for me. I can't believe that over a decade ago, I started doing this podcast and I was doing one episode a month. And it seemed like I would never get to be like a quote real end quote podcaster putting out content every week, but I've done it. And I've also started a second podcast as well 5 years ago. So I just would like to thank people in advance if they do indeed tell folks about the 500 episode. Again, word of mouth, I believe, is the best type of advertising. And it's also the cheapest, not going to lie. But definitely tell everybody you know that in 2 weeks, you're going to hear the 500th episode of this little podcast of mine. And with that, I'm going to switch gears and I'm going to talk about this episode, episode number 498, which coincides with the start of the NHL season. That's right. My good friend Luke Landry is joining me on this episode to talk about what went on over the summer and into the early training camp timeline for the NHL. We're going to talk all about what teams we think are going to make it to the playoffs, which teams have a shot at maybe lifting Lord Stanley's Cup, talking about all the news and contracts and whatnot. But I will state this. We recorded this episode this past Sunday. So the NHL's kicked off on Tuesday. And so I don't think that's really going to impact our discussion, other than I was correct on my thoughts on the Connor McDavid contract situation. But besides that, it's a great, fun talk about some hockey. So definitely I want to get to it, but before I do that, I got to pay some bills, if you will. Want to thank our very first and newest sponsor to the PVD Cast, Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need great deals on women's fashions and health and beauty, then look no further than Courtney 614. You can find her at all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc., etc. All you got to do is look for Courtney 614, and that's spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y 614. And some of those outlets, there's a space in between the Courtney and the 614. But nevertheless, just look out for her, and you can score some really great deals through Courtney 614 Online Sales. And if you do indeed buy anything from Courtney, please let her know that you heard about her store and her endeavors through the PVD Cast. And now to the OG sponsor. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics from every era. The golden, silver, bronze, and modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. So stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff and all the fine folks at World's Greatest. And you can do that in person. Their address, as I mentioned, is 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can also check them out online. Their website is, of course, wgcomics.com. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just check out at WG Comics. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Luke Landry and I talk all about the upcoming NHL season. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a few days away. When I say it is, I'm talking about the NHL season. So that means I have to invite back my main man, my hockey guru himself, Mr. Luke Landry. Luke, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to the season starting. We certainly have a lot of things to talk about that happened over the summer, but I think it would be fitting if we started off this episode talking about our respective favorite teams. I think that that would probably be the best way to kick off this episode. So you'll fill everybody in on what you think that the Habs did over the summer. And likewise, I will talk about my beloved Pittsburgh Penguins and what they did over the summer. So let's start off with Montreal adding some people, some big news actually on the defense. So what's your thoughts about adding Noah Dobson and Zach Bolduc?
I can't wait to see him play, especially Dobson. I mean, he kind of becomes like a Matheson plus-plus, if you will, from the offensive perspective, whereas Matheson sometimes maybe tries a little too much. He seems to pick his time and moments a bit better than Matheson. Seems to be a very mobile defenseman, smart guy with the puck. No, I can't wait to see him play, and I can't wait to see who they're going to pair him up with as well. So that's going to be and Bolduc. I mean, you're bringing in size. You know, you're bringing in a guy who can also play on your PK because they lost Armia and Dvorak at the end of the year. They lost. They didn't re-sign him. But I mean, those were two of your top guys on the PK. So somewhere down the line, you got to try to replace them because Montreal at the end of the season had a pretty solid PK, and a lot of it was because of Evans, Armia, the Dvorak. So I think Bolduc is going to help as well. I can't wait to see, you know, Caulfield, Suzuki, you know, where they're going to set Dimidoff. What's he going to be doing? Cause, I mean, he had a terrific training camp. Most of the games that he did, most of the lines they put him up against was just too easy for him. So I can't wait to see him full season against top lines in the NHL. So yeah, it's encouraging.
I think Bolduc is the signing that flows under the radar a little bit. I don't think too many people, maybe it's because he plays in St. Louis. I don't know, but I think a lot of people are sleeping on Bolduc, and I think that he's going to be a huge asset for the Canadiens.
He's one of those players that, for whatever reason, they'll stick him on like the third line, but eventually down the line they sort of become like a Jordan Staal, where you need him. You can't get rid of him, and he seems to be following somewhat in those footsteps where he can produce a little bit offensively, but his defensive game seems to be getting better and better as the season progresses. So probably, yeah, I don't know. I guess a lot of people get caught up in the flashy players. He doesn't seem to be a flashy player. So that might be one of the reasons. And again, like you said, St. Louis, not the most popular market as well.
And you got great goaltending, especially down the stretch last year going into the playoffs with Sam Montembeault. And I can never pronounce the other guy's name. Jonas Dobse?
Dobesh.
It always confuses me. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know. You got to hear it a couple of times and then try saying it a couple of times. And then my two sons are like, you know, so-and-so and this and that. And I still have to like pause to say, I can't say it. Slavkowski. You know, I got to take a beat, say it, and then go back into whatever I wanted to say. So yeah, I get it.
But that goaltending performance, I mean, you know, that's a positive sign, especially in the, you know, that march to the playoffs and getting in last year. So the goaltending looks to be pretty solid.
I guess. I mean, you know, the Carey Price years aren't that far behind, and we're not there. But yeah, I mean, what we saw last year was pretty encouraging. And what I didn't get to see too many of the games, the preseason games, and biggest spots I got to see were actually Fowler goaltending. And that seems promising as well. So even further down the stretch, if they don't decide to part ways with Montembeau, or if it doesn't work out, or whatever, you even Kakkonen, I mean, you're getting a bit more experience there. But I think without being too skilled, I think they have an overall tandem that could be very interesting in the long run.
Okay. You think they make the playoffs this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty well. Again, I mean, it's one of these things where you look at the lineup and I'm thinking, yeah, but you know, as long as they stay healthy enough,
that
always becomes the issue, you know. And then you get to see how deep really does your roster go. So some years you think, oh, we're pretty deep, and then you realize, well, we're four guys out, and all of a sudden everything starts to crash and burn. So we'll see. But I mean, as of right now, if everybody stays healthy, yeah, they got a pretty good shot of making the playoffs, and they upped on size as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a plus. I don't think they're going to get ragdoll against the Capitals like they did in the first round last year. Much tougher team this year. So,
okay, we'll move on to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I would like to say that I'm as optimistic as you are with your Canadiens, but I'm just not. I hate to say it. I think there's too many things going on in Pittsburgh. Too many rumors, too much uncertainty. I think it's going to be a huge distraction. I think this team's going to be distracted from the get-go. You know, Malkin's in his final year of his contract. There's rumors that he might retire. There's still that nagging rumors of Sidney Crosby being traded either to Colorado or Montreal. Trades for Rust and Raquel. I think there's just too much. There's, again, some more management issues where the Hoffmans might want to, this group of individuals, the Hoffmans that want to buy the team possibly. I think there's just too much to stay focused. Plus a new coach who, I don't know. I think he's not proven to be, at least to my liking, to be a good enough coach to be in charge of the Pens. I think it's going to be a mix of just unfocused energy in Pittsburgh.
Could be. I think what might, it depends how they're able to twist it, but the fact that this might be like the core three's last year together, that might be a big help trying to push them forward. You know, just try to give it one last go and give it all you got. I don't know. I saw a big chunk of the, might have been their second to last game, preseason game. And Carlson looked pretty good, which I haven't thought of him over the last few years, you know, except that he had a really good year, was it 2-3 years ago, one of his last years in San Jose.
Yeah.
But I thought he was skating really well. So that might be a plus if he keeps it up. But maybe that, because they haven't changed all that much over the last few years. So it's sort of like the same old story where, you know, okay, you have these top guys, but they're getting older, but you know, you just traded away so many prospects, so many assets, so many picks to try to keep it going that you're left with not much.
No, and they're trying to get younger, but, you know, I think that they don't know how to balance. Kyle Dubas doesn't know how to balance the young kids with the established group. And I think that's also going to be a problem. You know, goaltending, that's still up in the air, although I actually have a theory about Pittsburgh's goaltending, but we'll talk about that later because it ties into another team. So, I would hope that they make the playoffs because they haven't been there in 3 years, 4 years, whatever. I hope they can just, at least just make the playoffs, maybe go out in the first round, best of seven, go to the seventh game, make it a heroic exit is what I'm getting at, you know, just for us. And then we can rebuild over the summer.
Yeah. Make it interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I remember a few years ago when not much was happening in Montreal, as far as thinking about maybe making the playoffs, but at least they had a competitive team on the ice. They weren't the most talented. They weren't the, you know, but a lot of times they'd lose by one or two goals. So all the games were close, and sometimes they'd even beat one of the top teams in the NHL. But you know, at least they were fun to watch, and you got to see kids who actually wanted to make it on the team, and so it made it interesting. But yeah, don't know, maybe he'll be able to make a big splash somewhere around December or trade deadline or something. We'll see. Again, like you said, what does ownership want? You know, right. they really want to give these guys one last shot, or are they already thinking about next year or 5 years down the road?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, when there's been talk about this group, the Hoffmans, who they have they've done an ECHL franchise, they've ran it very successfully. They've been talking about wanting to buy in. Mario Lemieux still trying to hold on to his stake in things. I think when you have that front office chaos coupled with all the rumors of, and I don't believe Crosby's leaving. I don't buy that. I think it's just conjecture from fans. I don't think he's leaving. I think he's staying till the end of the three.
How many years does he have left? Like 2-3 years, something like that. Two.
He's got two more years left on his contract.
Yeah, so it'd be easy for him to say, you know, well, I'm gonna finish it over here, and that's
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. If I was gonna pick one of the three, I'd say Letang would be the one to go, but I don't even think he would. I think that they realize what a special thing that they have going on. But again, with all the distractions of ownership, and then, you know, who do we have, you know, who's playing those third and fourth lines? Because that's always been Pittsburgh's weakness, is we don't have a very solid third or fourth line, especially when it comes to scoring. Secondary scoring is down the tubes. But I also think maybe if the Metro is a little bit weaker, like it was this past season, maybe that'll help them out, but you can't rely on other teams to be lousy. I mean, that's just not a winning philosophy.
It's not a very good sign, no.
No.
If they lose, we make the playoffs. Whoa, hang on.
All right, well, let's talk about the Stanley Cup champs, the Florida Panthers. Boy, they've made headlines from last night, have they not?
And they're in a rough spot too, with Barkov leaving practice. Was it last week or something like that? He's out 7 to 9 months or some crazy thing like that. Kachuk's out and for at least another 2 months, maybe more. And but apparently they're still tough. Was it like 232 minutes penalty minutes overall, something like that?
It was something ungodly. I watched a little bit of the clip of, and they had it on YouTube, the clip of how things started. And Luke, after like the fourth time that it's this, I'm like, okay, I get what went on. I don't have to watch the rest of this. There's another 8-10 minutes that I'm not even going to bother with, because I get it. It's rinse and repeat. But Kachuk out possibly till December, Barkov out. They still managed to keep most of the core together. So, you know, they got Bennett, Marchand, you know, Ekblad, they still have those key players, but you know, it's hard to three-peat, because I think that people know what you're going to do and what you're all about. And if you don't change that style, then you're susceptible to defeat, but yet you don't want to switch that style. It's a catch-22. You don't want to change that style, because then you change everything up and that might lead to losing. But yet other teams like Tampa and like Boston and like Ottawa, those divisional foes, they've seen what you're going to play, so they know how to defend against it maybe now. I don't know.
The thing is, they're so talented that you can't give them room down the center, but they're so strong on the boards that, you know, it's hard to beat them one-on-one. That's one of the things I've noticed about that team over the last 2 years. I mean, puck retrieval along the boards, puck protection along the boards, and they don't necessarily have some of the biggest players, but they're really strong on the puck. They're really strong on the boards. And if you lead in too much to try to win those battles and maybe throw an extra guy in there, they're going to make you pay down the center line. So it's, and then, I mean, Bobby and Net, I mean, it's freaking phenomenal. Yeah. Whatever. So if there's an important game, whatever, he just puts the switch on and he's tremendous.
Absolutely. And look, let's also say, because I've seen him play here in Columbus, Tarasov, Daniil Tarasov is not a slouch. He is a good goaltender. So you got a 1-2 punch right there in goaltending that is going to make the Panthers tough.
Yeah. In their case, I mean, it's always the question of how much energy do you have left in the tank? Mm-hmm. That's not just two big runs. I mean, that's like couple of big years going far into the playoffs and then going all the way and then going all the way again. So, I mean, there's no, it's no wonder me. I mean, well, Kachuk, I mean, you see the way Kachuk plays. So and he's not the biggest guy, so he's going to end up injured. But you know, that Barkov injury, I don't know if you saw the video, but it didn't seem to be that much. It's really like a bad fall with another player. So it's not much, but you know, if he hadn't seen all that action over the last few years, would it have been as bad as it was, you know,
right,
or as bad as it is. So that's the kind of stuff, like even for, you know, for Bobby, I mean, it's goaltending's a tough position. It's hard on the hips. It's hard on the knees. And he's seen a lot of action over the last few years. So yeah, I hope they do. I mean, they really have a fun team to watch, as much as you like to hate some of those players, but you know, I guess it's part of the game, but it's fun to see them. It's fun to see how they control the games and how they they're able to really compete even when it's a bad game and all that. So it's yeah, we'll see, but we'll see how tired they get. But that Barkov out, I mean, that's offense, that's defense right there. That's a big part of your team.
We're going to see, I think, with this injury, if it is as long as they say it is, just how important he is to that team.
Yeah, no, I think a lot more. Again, you know, we were talking about flashy players earlier. He's not. I mean, he can be. He's got a sweet set of hands. But one of the things that he does really well is his defensive awareness, his defense play. And that, I mean, that's where he gets most of his minutes. He's on the PK. He's going to be against those top lines to try to shut him down. So they're going to be missing a lot of that. Plus, you know, if you cough the puck over to him, I mean, it's over. Mm-hmm. A guy I coached with last year went down to Florida and he saw two games and he told me, he's like, man, watching him play is ridiculous. It's like he sees the play two or three plays in advance all the time. Whatever's going to happen or whatever, all of a sudden he's there. He'll cut the passing lane off. He's like, he comes out of nowhere and just takes over the play. And then you don't see him, but he's controlling the play all the time. So that one's going to sting. Pretty sure about it.
Well, let's talk about a flashy player, since we've talked about ones that aren't flashy. And in fact, not only is he flashy, but he's rich. Let's talk about Kaprizov. I mean, the big story that came out, I believe, this week, and maybe, yeah, it was this week, $136 million, $17 million a year. I don't know. I think the Minnesota Wild put themselves in a really desperate position because they have some very talented players, but they don't have a superstar. They recognize that Kaprizov is the superstar, so they have to pay him. But the question is, did they overpay him, I guess, is my question. What are your thoughts on the Kaprizov deal?
I never thought I'd see $17 million a year contracts, which is, you know, it's a good sign. I mean, the NHL is doing well, right? So they're able to up the prices. But I don't know. I mean, Minnesota is one of those teams that has, like, mediocre success. They always seem to be, like, sort of in the mix to make the playoffs, but for whatever reason, they can't make it too far. So we'll see. And I mean, well, you've seen it enough in Pittsburgh. We've seen it in Toronto. We're going to see it even more in Edmonton. I mean, when you start paying players that much money, it means that you're not going to be able to get as quality players on your bottom six, on your last D pairing, maybe your second goaltender, maybe even your first goaltender. I mean, you're going to have to give up something along the lines. And I don't know that, I mean, to your point, I'm not sure Minnesota did the right move there. They want to keep him. I get it. He sells tickets. I get it. But as far as pushing forward, I don't know how much it's really going to help.
And it was funny, right before we started recording, I was just perusing NHL.com. The Wild, they re-signed Philip Gustafson, their goaltender, to a five-year deal. I think it was worth 30-some-odd million, somewhere in there, upper 20s, low 30s. So they're spending money. But again, you know, as you said, when you get to that, you know, second or that last defense pairing or your second goaltender or whatever, that may be where you get bit in the neck, you know, if you will.
Yeah, we'll see. And especially, is it this year? I think it's starting this year. So I know they're making a whole bunch of changes for next year with, like, adding two games and all of that. But I think they're going to start counting the salary cap in the playoffs as well.
Yes, I believe that's, yeah.
So is it this year? I can't remember if it's this year or next year.
I think it's next year. I'm pretty sure it's next year.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, that's going to be an issue for a lot of teams who are able to like maneuver their way around these contracts and get the full benefits when the playoffs roll around. I mean, we'll see, but it's always this funny thing, right? Where the GMs and the owners are handing out these contracts. Like, remember when they used to sign the Minnesota Wild were the last team to sign two players to like 15-year contracts.
Oh yeah, that would have been Suter and Parise.
Exactly. And during the summer, everybody's complaining about those contracts. Everybody meaning the GMs and the owners. Well, I mean, you're the guys giving out the fucking contracts. Why are you? Yeah. So this to me is kind of like the same thing. It's like, well, we got to pay them. It's like, I get that, but how far along the negotiations can you have a certain amount of power where you know, I get you want money, but you also want to win, right? Or you want to have $17 million for the next 10 years, but be on a shit team. I mean, which one is it? Because you got the salary cap, and for as things are going right now, they don't seem to want to have the similar. I think the MLB has this where you can bust the salary cap, but you'll be fined.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, so you take a guess, you know, do I bust the salary cap and pay the fine, but I have a better team, or do I respect it and not fine, but I have a regular ordinary team. So as long as the NHL doesn't go with that in that direction, I mean, you're spending a lot of money on one, two, maybe three players, and then you can't fill in the rest of your roster. And a lot of times these guys, I mean, he's a great player, but I don't think he's going to be your top defensive guy.
No.
You know, so
defense is not his middle name. Well, I will say that.
Exactly. So, I mean, somewhere down the line, you got to compensate. And that's also going to cost you. It's not going to cost you as much, but it is going to cost you. And so I don't, I mean, good for him. But I have a hard time, other than selling tickets right now, I have a hard time seeing how this is actually going to be beneficial. And you can't even think about trading him now.
No.
Except trading him to like the San Jose Sharks or a team that's just taking salary dumps right now just to be on the cap floor. So it's I don't, and again, it's always the same story. We're like, oh, they complain, but you're handing out the contracts. Stop handing out those contracts. If everybody says no, $17 million is too much, he's probably going to take less. But I don't know.
Does this put a lot of pressure on Minnesota to win? Because I think it does. I think if I'm a Minnesota Wild fan and I'm plunking down my hard-earned cash to go to games and to buy merchandise and all that jazz, then damn it, I want a winning team. And I don't care. You paid this guy $17 million, right or wrong. I know people might say, well, that's the wrong way to look at it, John. But I mean, it is a viewpoint. Like, I've spent all this money. You better deliver. We better go deep in the playoffs, if not win a cup.
Yeah, well, look at what happened in Toronto.
Yeah.
And so spending so much money on your core four, not getting any results, mm-hmm. And then people get, and especially, I mean, it's a big hockey market, but people eventually get mad. So yeah, I mean, right or wrong, it is part of a reality. And even for Kiprusoff, I mean, not Kiprusoff, jeez, I'm going back to the good old Calgary days right there.
Kaprizov.
Close enough, right?
Close, yeah. I mean, you know.
Close enough. Yeah. You know, back when Calgary had a decent team. That's a lot of pressure on him too.
Yeah.
So, like, how much do you expect him to produce if you're not able to get him players that would be able to help him produce? I don't know. I mean, it's a tough sell, I think.
Yeah, and like I said, they have some pretty talented players. I mean, with Rossi and Eriksson, Ek and Boldy, and they signed Tarasenko, I believe, over the summer too. So they have some decent players around him. But is that enough? Are those decent players, can they help out in getting him the puck, getting him in positions where he can score? That's the big question for Minnesota.
Yeah. It's one of those things where maybe they're right and they're developing the core with the players you just mentioned, and you know, maybe they see something that we don't see as much, because I don't get to see a Minnesota play all that much. But again, I mean, you always end up being close enough or in the mix for the playoffs, but you don't seem to push ahead too much. Kind of like the Nashville Predators for year after year. Mm-hmm. You know, they're making the playoffs, maybe win a round, and then that's it, you know.
All right, well, let's talk about another person that has a contract issue, and that is Connor McDavid. What are your thoughts on that situation?
It'd be fun to be a fly on the wall and hear what's going on in those offices. I remember, like, not too long ago, we talked the same, like what you were saying with Pittsburgh when they hired Stan Bowman. It's like, do you really need to hire Stan Bowman now after all the crap that we heard about and everything? It's like, you don't need that right now. You got an up and coming team. You don't need that kind of that kind of problem. And then, you know, Evander Kane's great player, but he comes with his own baggage of issues as well. So I don't know to what extent McDavid has a say in, like, you know, do something right. You know, just try to get us a bit deeper. I mean, I think what's killed them the last 2 years is partly size and that fourth line. They got to have a stronger fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is that part of it? Again, I mean, they gave Evan Bouchard a crazy contract. I don't remember what it was, but it's like, you know that your two highest paid defensemen on your team right now don't know how to play defense. I mean, that's a fucking issue. That's a big issue, man. And mm-hmm. and it's not that they can't get the job done offensively, but they're defensive liabilities and they're your two highest paid defensemen. And especially teams like the Panthers, they're able to just, like, make them stick out like a sore thumb. So I'd be interested to see how much leeway he has in that without necessarily being the guy who picks the coach or stuff like that. But, like, where are you guys heading? Right? Because right now, I mean, it's still like the, what do they call him? Like the two-headed beast between him and Dreisaitl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still them. And that to me is an issue. If you're not getting anything from other players, that's an issue. And you got to think that even for him, he recognizes that, and that's got to be an issue as well. He needs a bit more support.
Well, I think he resigns, but I have a feeling that he resigns on a very short contract. I don't see McDavid going, oh, give me 7 years or 8 years. I see him going, I'll take three, especially. And this is where I'm going to go back to Pittsburgh Penguins for a moment, especially if they don't address the goaltending. I think, yes, you have two defensemen that play awful defense or non-existent defense, I should say. But you have two goaltenders that are not getting the job done. And I feel like if November rolls around, Luke, and Edmonton is struggling, I have a feeling that there's going to be some people looking out there at maybe Sorokin, maybe Tristan Jarry, try to get them, because I think Edmonton would be happy in the instance of Jarry. I know what he makes. He makes $5 million to eat some of that contract just to get him, and maybe he will be better. Maybe he is the solution, or maybe Sorokin is the issue, or maybe Shesterkin as well. Those are all been names that have been floated around. I feel like November is going to be a telling time period for the Oilers as to, we're good with what we have. We're not improving in the goaltending situation, especially. If that happens, I think then Connor McDavid signs a three-year deal, and he will probably be leaving Edmonton at the end of those 3 years.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. And yeah, you got to wonder how hard it is to move goaltenders, because we don't see many goalie trades. And Edmonton's not the only team with goalie issues either. So
no.
I'm sure they're trying to address the issue, but it's got to be one of those things where, you know, are you going to take a gamble like Ottawa and Toronto did on Matt Murray and it didn't pan out? Or are you going to, you know, try maybe a kid that you have in the American League? No, I mean, definitely it's as much as Skinner can be awesome, then you can lose him for 2 weeks and wonder what the hell happened.
Exactly. That's the thing they have to make up their mind, because the inconsistency of Stuart Skinner is what the problem has been. Is you, I think as a general manager, you have to eventually say, okay, this is either you got to be consistent, Stu, or we got to go in a different direction. One of the two. And then however you figure that out, I'm not a goaltending coach, but I figure there's a way that you could start doing things to make Stuart Skinner a better goaltender. And then, of course, then you got to address Darnell Nurse and Evan Bouchard as well. But one problem at a time.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. But I mean, for the defenseman, it's like higher up you are on the ice, the more padding you have, right? So if you're a forward, you're allowed to make more mistakes because you have your D-man and then your goaltender. If you're a D-man, you got a little more leeway because you have your goaltender. But at least on D, if you have one guy that's pushing a bit more on the offense, if you're able to find a solid defensive defenseman, then you maybe it can pan out. But, you know, again, having a bad game, it happens. But when you're up to 2 weeks of bad games, there's a time of the year where you can tolerate that. But, you know, come April, you can't. You can't give me two bad weeks and the same thing. I mean, is it a drafting issue as well? Because it doesn't seem to be necessarily a light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to prospects as well. So they're in a tough situation there.
Yeah, and I think the expectations are incredibly high, especially after these last 2 years that they have to go all the way. They have to. That's the only thing that the fans of Edmonton are going to accept is them going all the way. And I like McDavid. I secretly cheered for the Oilers, you know, both these playoff runs. But yeah, something's got to give. And that might be, unfortunately, moving one of your star players.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Luke for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. So if you want to check out the store and you're in Central Ohio, just swing on by 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're out of the area, you could still check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address, and they're very active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WGComics.
All right, well, yeah. Let's talk about moving star players. Let's talk about the Mitch Marner deal. obviously, I know, you know what? Even you, I'm sure, had to not have been as overtly happy about the woes of the Leafs, or am I wrong on that statement?
Well, we're kind of used to it by now, I guess. It happens, right? My biggest surprise is that he was going to Vegas. Yeah. It seems like every big player on the market ends up in Vegas. I don't know where they find the capital. Eichel went there. It's just like every year a big player goes there. Now, I know that they have a way of doing things where it's pretty much like, if it doesn't work out, you're out. You know, it doesn't seem to be a team of second chances. So if you're in and it works out, we're going to keep you. If not, you're out. So maybe that's how they're managing everything. But it's like, a bunch of years in a row, you're getting some of the top players on your team. How are you paying them? What's going on there? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they had Thomas Hertl, who was there for a couple of years as well, who was no slouch. And then, as you said, Eichel, and let's see, defensively, they've had Pietrangelo on defense, although he's out with is he out, or is it Shea Theodore that's out?
No, I think it's Pietrangelo.
Pietrangelo, okay.
Yeah, and out for a long time, I think.
A long time, but they still have plenty of great defensemen. So while he'll be missed, I think you talk about being deep. That's the other thing, is they got a lot of depth. So I think Vegas is going to do a lot of damage in the West.
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, and I'm pretty sure Marner's going to be all year. He's going to be like, you know what? Here's what I can do. You didn't want me? Take a look at what I can do. And that's another thing for Toronto. Now they have to replace a 100-point player, which they haven't done. So, but again, Vegas, how are they doing it? I don't know. Cause I mean, there's a lot of other teams that would have had this cap space and he would have been a nice fit. But I don't know how they do it.
They got the magic touch somehow.
Yeah, definitely. And every time there's a player on the market, their name's in there. Like every time. The other teams always, the list changes. You get five teams on there, but Vegas is always one of them. Mm-hmm. Always one of them. it's nuts. And a lot of times they come out on top. So I don't know how they do it, but you know, it's great for Vegas fans, but it's just like, it's, I don't know. It's mind boggling. Like how are you doing this every time?
And I could tell you right now, a fellow podcaster friend of mine, Gerald Glassford, out in Vegas. He lives out in Vegas. He could tell you that the fan base loves the Golden Knights. I mean, the Golden Knights are by far top tier. The Raiders, nobody cares about the Raiders in Vegas. So they got the fan base, which I think is incredibly important for every franchise, is to have that fan base that is passionate, that cares. Because every time that you don't have that, you see that teams lose, they get relocated. It's a negative impact. So I think that they definitely have the city of Vegas behind them. And I think that's a benefit to them as well.
Yeah, and that's you know, hats off to the NHL for modifying the way that they did the professional drafting for those teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you can see Seattle probably didn't do as good of a job as Vegas did, but you know, I mean, they were able to pull off a lot of good deals with what they did, either like signing players or not, or just trading away, getting picks for not picking players and stuff like that. I mean, they really, because that's their core. Mm-hmm. That's what they're still running on that after all of these years. So, no, I mean, they're doing great job over there, but you know, you don't want to go and coach them because you're probably going to coach them for like 2 years, but otherwise, I guess it's okay.
All right, just a couple other teams that we got to talk about here. And let's talk about the Carolina Hurricanes. They made a big splash signing Nicholas Ehlers, 8 years for $8.5 million. And then they also, and I got to be honest with you, I don't remember the signing of Keandre Miller. Did that happen over the summer? Because if it did, I totally missed it. When I was doing my research today, I'm like, he's a Carolina Hurricane? I thought he was still a Ranger.
It's funny because while I was reading up on it yesterday, I had the same reaction. It's like, I do remember him not playing for the Rangers anymore, but I was surprised that he ended up in Carolina. Yeah.
Do they have enough to get over the hill? Because that's the issue with the Hurricanes. They always seem to be, much like Nashville, much like Minnesota, they're always in the mix. Expectations are high, yet they seem to falter when playoff time comes around.
They've had... I think, you know, compared to Minnesota or Nashville, I think they have a better team than they usually have. But it's like they can't get into that third gear for whatever reason. They stick on the second gear. It'll get them through the first round. But trying to kick it a notch higher, it just doesn't seem to happen. And then something breaks down. It's either their defense or their goaltending or just something breaks down along the line. And then even some of their star players, I mean, they have a harder time producing as the playoffs go along, which you want to try to avoid. You have to be able to adapt. McDavid's a great example of that. First couple of times he was in the playoffs, he wasn't very good. The game's completely different. It's a lot more physical. Players are, you know, they're not calling as many penalties. So players are able to slow you down a bit more, figure out a way around it. And now he's freaking awesome in the playoffs as well. So I think a couple of guys in Carolina probably have to try to get that third gear and try to maybe find another way to get pucks to the net. It's just, there's something there that I don't quite get, because every year on paper, they look freaking good. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they finished in the top of the East again, but man, there's just something. It's like reaching that next level. There's something that happens there and I don't know what it is.
Is Freddie Anderson the answer, or are they another team that should go out and get a better goaltender?
I don't know. I always thought he was, well, I mean, maybe that's the issue. He's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be it. You know, I think he's worked a lot over the years on consistency. I think he is a bit stronger than when he was in Toronto. But, you know, maybe not enough. But I don't remember seeing a game where, you know, he seemed to really fall behind all that much, or be one of the reasons why they'd lose the game compared to like Stuart Skinner, where like when he's having a bad game, it's obvious he's having a bad game.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I mean, it's one of those odd things. And they seem to be a team that works hard. You know, I mean, Rob Brind'Amour has them working almost as hard as he used to work when he played. But there's just something that doesn't click when the games get harder.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Ehlers fits into things. I think that his explosive play that he has shown in Winnipeg, and I got to just, as a side note, I feel bad for Winnipeg. Winnipeg, I don't – they lost Ehlers. Everyone's injured. There's no amount of Connor Hellebuyck that's going to save that team. This team, I have a feeling, Jets, you might just want to write off this season. I hate to be a negative guy, but – things aren't looking good for you after losing Ehlers and all these injuries. And Jonathan Toews is not going to, we're not getting Jonathan Toews of who is 23 years old. We're getting a much more what's the word I'm looking for? A methodical Jonathan Toews. He's not going to be around there skating around like he did when he was young, scoring goals at will. So.
He hasn't played in how many years? Like
four, I think three years, something like that. Three, I think.
Yeah, so that's a long time. I was surprised. I thought it was over because he had health issues and all of that. So I thought it was. I mean, you had your good years and everything like that, and I mean, he had a nice career. So
yeah,
so I was surprised when he started talking about making a comeback. That was okay. Well, we'll see where it goes, but yeah, I mean. I don't know. I haven't seen him play in the preseason, so I don't know what it looked like.
You know what? Don't quote me on this, but I don't know if he was playing preseason. I think he may have been held out of preseason. I'm not sure on that, but I thought that I heard somewhere that he, because they want to make sure everything's A-OK with him, that they weren't pushing the envelope. But I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, it could be. It could be. He signed a contract. He didn't sign a pro tryout. So
no, he signed a contract. I mean, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, you know, if they're in agreement, all right, sure, whatever. Yeah. But I think he's, you know, I thought about it a little bit when they signed him that one of the things we've heard about Winnipeg over the last few years is how shitty the locker room has been. And a lot of blame was put on Blake Wheeler and he left. And it doesn't seem to have been much better last year. So I'm wondering if they're not signing him maybe a bit more for, you know, if you help us out on the ice, good, but we're really looking for a captain type player who's won the cup, who knows what it takes, maybe to put a couple of players in their place. That was sort of my feeling when I heard that they'd sign him.
That's a good theory. I never actually thought about that.
Yeah. We'll see, but I don't think they. I mean, they definitely didn't sign him for whatever offense he's gonna bring. So I think it's probably more along the lines of we're gonna have this guy in the room, and maybe he'll help sort things out and help us push through.
All right, last team I'd like to discuss here real quick is the team that resides here in the same city that I live in, the Columbus Blue Jackets. They added Miles Wood and Charlie Coyle, which I was surprised by Charlie Coyle. I really was that they signed him, but that's a good acquisition. Miles Wood's pretty decent. I think that they also got Ivan Fedotov, the goaltender from Philadelphia, as a backup, as well as they have the young kid, Jet Greaves, who also last year in the race between the Canadiens and the Blue Jackets to get that last playoff spot in the East. Jet Greaves helped the cause, but just not enough. I think that their key to making it back to the playoffs is going to be that goaltending. I think that they have a pretty decent defense. They have a pretty darn good, at least three lines. That fourth line is a little shaky, but good three lines. I see them maybe making it back to the playoffs. I don't know if they go far in the playoffs, but I think that they're going to cause some teams to maybe not overlook them anymore.
You know, it's funny. I was actually thinking about the Philadelphia Flyers, and if they have a good season, then Columbus might have a harder time. You know, but if the Flyers suck, then all of a sudden it's like, whoop, you see like Columbus sort of like go over. What I think is going to be interesting for Columbus is that, I mean, slowly you're going to start seeing this new management mold the team to the type of team that they want to have. I forgot his name, but he was there for so long.
Kekalainen.
Exactly. And everything was just after a few years ago now, when Panarin left and like this huge exodus. I mean, they never were able to recover from that. And it just seemed like they were going around in circles. So with this new team now in place, I mean, after a couple of years, you start to see like the real direction they want to take. That's what we're seeing in Montreal now. I mean, they're benefiting from players that they hadn't drafted, like Caulfield, or trades they hadn't made, like Suzuki. But these other guys and the way that they're building the team, now you're starting to see what these guys, what their idea is and which direction they want to go in. I think that's what you're going to start to see a lot more in Columbus. And if they stay competitive, I mean, even better.
And, you know, you talked about the, you know, Kekalainen, you know, was not maybe doing everything he could be to make that a winning franchise. But also, too, the coaching. I mean, Dean Evason is a very good coach. There's no two ways about it. And I think that he's the other part of the equation, is now he's got everybody buying the same style of play. And last year, the tragedy that occurred in the offseason, you know, that was used as fuel to the fire. And I think that hopefully that I can't speak for the city of Columbus, but I think hopefully that we've kind of started to grieve and we've gotten that over with. And we're now looking at, you know, what can we do on the ice as a team without, and I don't want to say distractions, but you know what I mean, without having that cloud hang over you. Now, maybe that gives you a little more extra boost now that you're playing for the city, or you're playing for your pride, or you're playing for your team rather than for the horrible tragedy that occurred.
Yeah, I the thought I had about near the end of October was that, I mean, tributes, okay, and then like you say, grieving. But I mean, eventually you want to get over it and move on. I mean, that's what we have to do. It doesn't matter if it's a hockey player or somebody in your family or whatever. Eventually you want to move on and not forget them, but okay, now what's the next step? And as much as I thought it was honorable for the NHL and the teams to have tributes, like every team had a tribute when Columbus showed up, but after a month or whatever, it's like, it must have been really hard for the team to be like, oh yeah, right. You know, it's like every game, all of a sudden going back, remembering the whole thing. That part must have been hell on emotions and on the nerves and everything, where you're trying to like, we still have a season to play. I mean, there's still stuff that we have to try to do. So that must have been, that must have been hell for him.
With that, we're getting up to almost an hour, Luke. Can I ask you to pick a couple of teams you think might go to the Stanley Cup? I mean, don't worry, folks. We'll revisit this topic in the springtime. Don't worry. But I always like to put Luke on the spot here to see what he thinks about who might be Stanley Cup contenders.
In the West, I'm going to go with Colorado. I think having Landeskog back in the lineup is going to give them the boost that they've needed the last few years.
Okay.
And he showed in the preseason, he played a little bit in the playoffs, but he showed in the preseason that he's up to play. Maybe not put up the numbers that he used to put up there, but he's ready to play. And I think that's going to be a huge boost for Colorado in the West.
Okay. I'm going to go in the West. I'm going with Vegas. Just for Mitch Marner being there. And I think that, as you mentioned when we were talking just a few moments ago about Mitch Marner, he's got a huge chip on his shoulder. And I think that that's going to motivate him to stick it to Toronto to lead Vegas to a Stanley Cup final. How about in the East?
East is a tougher one. I feel like there's a lot of teams that are competing for that top spot. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Florida. But I'm gonna go with Florida and try for the three-peat, because I have a hard time seeing who can come out on top. I mean, we mentioned Carolina, inconsistent, not sure what Toronto's gonna bring. Again, they lost a 100-point player. They still have some very good players, but that's still, I mean, I don't remember a team being able to recover easily after losing a 100-point player. And then Let's go with Florida.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm going to go with Carolina. I'm going to go Carolina because adding Ehlers, I think, is going to pay dividends for them, along with having Sebastian Aho and Kotkaniemi as well, and all the other talented folks that they have. But I'm going to go Carolina because I agree. I think the East is hard to pick because of the unknowns of who's going to be at the top. Because, I mean, in theory, any of those teams like Detroit, Ottawa, the Islanders, they could have, even Philly could have a decent season and maybe end up in the playoffs.
Even the Rangers, I mean, not quite sure what happened last year. They weren't supposed to tank that hard. Yeah. So maybe they'll have a bounce back, and last year was just a fluke. It's tough, and there's a change going on. You know, mm-hmm. you see the Lightning are still able to fight, but it's getting harder for them. You know, same with Washington. So Boston, you know, so we'll see what happens there. But there's a change going on there. But yeah, we didn't talk about the Islanders too much because there's not much to talk about. Unfortunately, trying to think of it, it's like you weren't able to keep Dobson, and then what else did you bring in?
Well, Clutterbuck retired, I believe. Yeah. And then you had Barzal. Hopefully, he's coming back. They're just not doing much on the island, are they?
No, there's sort of a standstill there. There's a couple of teams like that. I mean, the Flyers, the same things. Like they didn't do much in the off season, and they should have because they're not going anywhere. Yeah.
Well, it's weird. It's weird. That's how the ball bounces, so to speak, in the NHL. And Luke, with that, is there anything social media or anything that you want to plug real quick?
Okay. No, I've been too busy with everything else. So.
You have multiple kids playing hockey, correct?
Yeah, my oldest son now plays for his he's been playing for his school team. It's his third year now, and my other son's a goaltender for a local hockey association. So, yeah,
you're a busy man.
That keeps us busy. Yeah, that keeps us busy. The last one, my youngest daughter, she does figure skating. And my other daughter just joined his first year in high school, and she just joined the volleyball team. So we're busy.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? Hopefully in the springtime, you will not be too busy to sit back down with me, and we'll see where these teams stand and see who might be making the playoffs, who might not be making the playoffs, and all that fun stuff. So, Luke, thanks, man, for sitting down and chatting with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'll ask my sons for notes next time, and they'll be able to fill me in on what's going on. I keep on telling them, guys, you know more about what's going on between the teams and the games and all that. It's like I barely get a glimpse anymore. So I'll be sure to ask them. I won't be able to join, but they decide to do a hockey pool at work, and I figured like if I participate, I'm gonna just print the page and ask my kids to like, all right, pick the players, guys. I don't know where this is going anymore.
All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Luke Landry, talking about the upcoming NHL season, and we're going to reconvene in the springtime right before the playoffs start and see what predictions, what insights we gave on this episode that held true. And now it's about time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have some questions or comments about what we talked about here on this episode. First off, you can shoot me an email if you like. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can also find me over on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can even drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look for @PVDcast. Now, maybe you would like to tell some folks about this particular episode or any episode of the PVDcast, and you're not sure where to send them. Well, let me give you that information. First of all, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the easiest place to get every single new episode. But it's also available through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. All you have to do is go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it.
And hey, while you're using one of those outlets or apps, how about rating and reviewing? It pushes me up in the algorithm. And you don't have to leave a detailed message. You could just give me however many stars you think I deserve. And maybe a quick little bullet point. Hey, great show, fabulous show, whatever you want to say. So again, when you are in your favorite podcasting outlet or app, just search for PVDcast. And when you find it, you should probably just go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But there's a third and final way that you can hear each episode, and that is every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I do a little live broadcast of the PVDcast. So there's three ways you can hear the show: PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and of course, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Facebook page. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.